League of Ireland Late Night
on Off the Ball.
Jarrah Mark, who has been fantastic for us, obviously winning Player of the Month there last season, like, he's just been a new signing for us. He's been unbelievable.
League of Ireland Late Night, live every Friday from 10 on Twitter Spaces.
Off the Ball,
in partnership with Rockshore, bringing you League of Ireland football, a league of our own. Get the fact, be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie.
Goodness gracious, this must be a record in terms of us getting our stuff together tonight. But very welcome along indeed to everybody here on League of Ireland Late Night. Cameron Hill here, as always. I don't know what we're going to talk about for the life of me tonight. So little happening in the league. I'm joking, of course. Lots and lots to get stuck into on League of Ireland Late Night, which is, of course, in partnership with Rockshore on Off the Ball, a league of our own. Get the facts, be drink aware, visit drinkaware.ie. Since it's Easter weekend, I'm delighted to have as company the King of Kings, Shane Keegan. I've also with me, he's not the Messiah, but he's a very naughty boy. It's Johnny Ward.
What's the story, Cameron?
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, it's. I think you summed it up there. This was start of the second quarter in the league. A lot of stuff happening, and a couple of big away wins. I was working on the Galway United game, just doing the report on that, and it really felt like an absolute statement win. Watching that game, Derry were the better team. The Keane Byrne got sent off, so that was like that kind of changed Galway's chance coming back in the game. But Derry did look the better side, and then you've got that massive result in Waterford as well.
Oh, baby Johnny, there's so many massive results to get through tonight and so much to talk about, not least of which off the pitch too. So if you want to get involved, you just have to go, you're 90% of the way there, just go to the left-hand corner of your screen. You'll see the microphone and request to speak. We want to hear from your thoughts, whether you're at the game, whether you braved some of the horrible conditions, certainly from what it looked like on TV tonight across the country. But even we'd love to hear some Shamrock Rovers fans and what's been happening behind the scenes there this week. Maybe some Finn Harps and Kerry fans might want to jump on as well. Lots to talk about, so do get in touch. This is your forum to discuss whatever you would like on League of Ireland Late Night. So judging by your early comments, Johnny, I assume it was the game down in Éamon DC Park, which looked quite a great game. I mean, we might talk about that Robbie Benson goal in a few minutes, but overall, what was your impression of it?
Yeah, I thought it was a game that was a bit more in keeping with the expectations at the start of the season, where Derry actually did look a good team with good players, and Galway United essentially just struggled to deal with the likes of Michael Duffy. Robbie Benson was very influential in the game, and, you know, Gavin White, Dom Thomas, the kind of marquee players in terms of, you know, the sort of standard that they should be bringing to Derry were very good. But Galway United have a great attitude. Patrick Hickey got a header. It was kind of this long punt from Slevin, from his own half, no Derry touch on the ball, and Hickey got a kind of a last ditch touch. He's had such a brilliant season, both him and Duffy, in terms of goals. Hooked home. So then at half time, you're thinking as a Galway United fan, like, yeah, this is good. But Derry quickly reasserted, and Robbie Benson was actually in Warsaw for that goal. It's just, I'm presuming, the best right footed goal he might ever score. But this wasn't bad. It was like just really good play on the right from Thomas, and he kind of hooked in, came in his left foot, played in Benson, and a brilliant curling shot. And then after that, Keane Byrne actually couldn't play the instant back, but he was deservedly booked in the first half. And then he was booked just after Benson scored on 49 minutes. And after that, like, really hard to see Galway United come back into it. Derry didn't create that much, but looked very, very comfortable. Weren't really coughing up any chances. Then White scored, break, last ditch, like kind of 3-on-1 for Derry from Paul McMullen pass. And as much as Borden got a goal at the end, it did feel like a bit of a statement, a win for me, Cameron, for Derry. They were just, they just looked a team with a bit of a swagger. And Galway United in the second half, I felt like in Shamrock Rovers, looked very much second best when they went behind. And as much as it was 11-10 tonight, there were times in the game when they very much looked second best to me as well.
We'll get the thought to Shane Keegan very shortly because I see he's joined, but it would be a massive shame for us not to give Aaron Dearn his flowers after so many painful nights here on League of Ireland Late Night. A 4-0 win for you guys down in the RSC, Aaron. The floor is yours.
Well, lads, how are you?
Not too bad. This was the game I was watching, so... yeah, it was just complete. I think Alan Keane was on Johnny and Don's podcast this week and was saying just that Sligo Rovers have put in good performances, but maybe some mistakes have just let them down already this season. This was probably as close to a complete performance over 90 minutes that you guys have put in this year.
Oh, 100%. Like, forget the 3 points. Even just the clean sheet alone is just massive compared to all the games so far. Like, up until now, it's been mistakes at the back, just constantly leaking goals, and just to grind out. Even to halftime, obviously Watford kind of tried to get a goal back before halftime, but just even get to halftime, 2-0 up and defending that was big, like some big blocks at the back there in particular. Obviously, look, you got the dream start. Like, I mean, between Garrett and Elding getting two headers, and you couldn't ask for much more after, 11 minutes on the clock to be 2-0 up away from home. But obviously, John Russell, I'm sure you all heard his interview last week. He said he was going to make some big calls with dropping a few players. Obviously, he dropped Conor Malley and dropped the goalkeeper and Walsh and put back in Sargent. So in the end, he was vindicated with his decisions and got obviously a massive 4-0 win. I wouldn't have seen that coming. I don't think much Rovers fans would have seen 4-0. Obviously, we would have been optimistic with some of the performances so far that we might maybe pick up 3 points, but maybe a 2-1 or a 1-0 or something like that, but not 4-0. But yeah, it does good for the goal difference too.
You mentioned, like, Aaron, that Rustler interview after the game Saturday was, like, it was quite striking. It was, I say, you could read it between the lines that he was having a go at Malley, and he was true to his word. They're two big decisions you made tonight.
No, they're big calls. Obviously, it could go the other way if you lose. You know, it can come back to bite you. But I was actually quite happy to see that side of John Russell, because obviously he is very calm and composed usually, even when you lose. And just to see that kind of nearly bit of bite in himself, that, you know, he had enough is enough. Like, so obviously it paid off. Players listened to him, and like, there was literally no mistakes I could think of between the back line, midfield there tonight that, you know, would have cost us anything. So obviously the red card as well helped in the second half, took a bit of pressure off. We were out for going down to 10 men, but yeah, big result.
Aaron, can I ask you about Gareth McIlroy? I haven't seen a 90-minute game from Sligo, just kind of highlights here and there. But I mean, he's a very young boy, isn't he? And I mean, to be starting in such a pivotal position, geez, he looked a man mountain for the goal. Now, I have to say, is he
Shane? He is
a lot of potential, isn't he?
He's made for England, and like, he's literally everything you want in a centre back. Tall, good on the ball. Like, he's 6'3", I think, 6'4". So he's serious height, young, has a bit of pace to him. Good on the ball. Obviously, you've seen his heading ability there this evening for the goal. Like, the potential is there for him to go across 100%.
Is he a lefty, Aaron?
I think he's right. I don't think he's left-footed. But yeah, look, I just think he was unlucky. I actually thought at the start of the season that he didn't work his way into the team, especially when we're conceding so many goals. But I'm glad he's getting a proper run out now. Obviously, he came into the team last year. I think he's literally just turned 20.
Okay.
So he's, he obviously got his run in last year. I think he had some really good performances last year towards the end of the season. He had one unlucky game up in Tala, but obviously when you're young, you're learning the ropes, but he's come on leaps and bounds since then. So to be honest, I couldn't see clubs coming sniffing for him in July, even if he keeps the way he's going.
Yeah, I think Rustler has lost enough players. He won't want you hawking him out just yet, I'd say.
No, sure. Look, this is the thing. But look, sure, even Owen Elding, the rate he's going, like, even though...
Owen's Elding tonight, actually.
He played really well. He was actually unlucky not to get a second goal early in the first half. Just before half time, he took a lovely touch on the edge of the box and just hit it first time and tried to curl it into the top corner. And in fairness, the Waterford keeper made a really good save. But yeah, no, he's definitely proven himself one this year. Like, even though we have been struggling, he's still getting amongst the goals so far. So yeah, just, and great thing is, I know obviously not great for Cork, but like, delighted to see Bo's got a late goal there. Just really adds the pressure now for the Cork game next Saturday. I know obviously we have to play Derry between that, but it'll be kind of more all eyes on Cork next Saturday.
Just quickly reading up on the young fella here as we're chatting. He did, I see, at the end of last season, he did his meniscus. That's probably, you were saying he was unlucky not to get in the team earlier. He's bounced back very, very well from that. So
yeah. No, he's definitely one to watch. And look, like, I know obviously we're a small budget, but that's one of the benefits, is these young lads are able to get their opportunities in the team. And in fairness, John Russell has no problem playing them if they're good enough. And some of them are definitely good enough so far anyways. And they're probably even outperforming some of the more senior pros in the team. So yeah, shout out also to Ronan Mannin, who's been very good the last three or four games since he's got a run in the team. Just covers a lot of ground. And again, tonight he was really good. So
yeah, that's a good way to end it, Aaron. And well done on shutting down Shane, trying to sell more of your players. I know there's a trend when ever a player is mentioned and given plaudits that they end up being sold a week later after they've been mentioned on League of Ireland Late Night. So you're absolutely right. Don't let him get anywhere near them.
No worries, lads.
Cheers. Thanks a mil, Aaron. Have a good weekend. Matthew is up next. He's just joining here. Good evening, Matthew. You're very welcome along to League of Ireland Late Night. I believe he writes for LOI Talk. So I'm going to hazard a guess and say you're a Cork City fan. And he's dropped off. There we go. No questions.
Bo's, nope. A Bo's fan, I think, Cameron.
Is he? I see.
Yeah, him, yeah. Clicking on his profile here. Yeah.
He wrote. So his piece was very Cork eyeing up in Dublin. So Matthew, maybe you can shed some light.
Sorry, I didn't quite hear what you're saying. Could you repeat that?
We're trying to decide: are you a Bo's fan or a Cork City fan?
Bo's fan.
Ah, oh, I owe Shane Keegan a Coke. Anyway, the floor is yours.
Thanks very much. Yeah. But firstly, can I just say thanks very much for having me on. Secondly, as for tonight, I know I didn't go into the game. I would have, but unfortunately, I just couldn't make it, unfortunately. So, but I think tonight, the first half, we were very sort of flat. And it's the same problem we keep seeing with Alan Reynolds. It's like any time we're going forward, any time there's some sort of attack building up, we're just so slow, and then eventually we just end up passing backwards and ends up leading to nothing. Our goal was very scrappy. We had the ball in the back of the net a few minutes beforehand. I didn't think it went out of play before it went in, but sure, look, the linesman thought differently, and in the end that didn't end up really mattering all that much, because James McManus, really good finish from the edge of the box. It was very poorly cleared away from a Cork City point of view. I remember the commentators were saying that all of the goals that Cork City conceded against Rovers were kind of unforced errors, if you like. So obviously, that was another sort of unforced error. The header away was very shoddy. It fell straight to McManus, who put it into the back of the net in the bottom left-hand corner. And look, do I think we deserve the win? I don't think so. I think Cork had so many chances to pull it away kind of in the first half. Unfortunately, just couldn't get their shots away or whatever. We had a really good chance in the first half as well. I think it was Tierney's shot, bullet header, but it was straight at Troost. I think overall it was just a really, really bad game of football. not helped by the conditions. Like, it was battering raining here in North Dublin, like, all day long. So the pitch was wet, it was breezy, from what I saw anyway, from like the motion of the flags and umbrellas and whatever. So so look, it was really not a great game of football to watch, but I think we didn't play particularly well. We didn't help ourselves all that much. I know we won, but it's seventh versus ninth. We should really be winning these sorts of games, but it's an important win for us, and hopefully that puts us out of the relegation picture for the time being anyway.
Actually, I thought you were going to come on and talk about what a brilliant 3 points it was and how it showed heart and showed battle and all of that kind of stuff. Well, sounds like you've come away with more questions than answers from the game.
Kind of, yeah. Like, I think again, like, the way our goal was just very jammy. Like, it was a good finish in the end from McManus, but I think overall we just didn't. We just look very flat, and again, like, the passing backwards when we look like we're having an attack on is kind of not really good enough. I think Alan Reynolds is I'm still not convinced by Reynolds really at all. Like, I've wanted him gone for quite a while now, because I just don't think his tactics are up to scratch. Again, we should really be winning these sorts of games, and look, we did well to grind out the win. I'm not to take away from that fact, but like, overall, do we deserve the win? Fucking the way we played, no. But at the same time, look, we did grind out the results, I suppose. We did kind of weather a bit of a storm. And look at 3 points is 3 points, I guess. So, but off that performance, I'm not confident going into Monday.
Yeah, like, we were talking this week, Shane, or the guys were talking on the League of Ireland pod, Vinny and Gareth McGlynn, about just the precarity, something we sort of talked about recently enough, about what happens to a manager when they get sacked in this league, and just the precarity that throws them into, because it's not like the Premier League or the top leagues of Europe, where you have loads of different employment options afterwards and can look down the divisions. Like, often when a League of Ireland manager loses their job, they can be cast out into the wilderness fairly quickly. So I suppose you always have to take it with a grain of salt when someone says that someone should be sacked, because the reality of that situation is much more stark for a League of Ireland manager. At the same time, I heard Paul Doolan recently making the point that maybe we're too light on managers these days. Well, what's your thoughts after seeing how Alan Reynolds has started and the things he's done in pre-season or in between the seasons to what you would have thought get this Bows team into shape and maybe get them to the potential that so many people see them in? And so far it hasn't happened. So what's your assessment of how the first round of games heading into quarter two have gone?
Yeah, well, I suppose the first point I'd make is, like, you make a good point about, you know, a manager becoming unemployed, and certainly they don't have the riches to fall back on. I've been there, so I have, after I parted from Galway. But I'll be honest with you, Cameron, like, I don't expect supporters to factor that into how they think about a manager, to be honest. Like, they're solely concerned about their club and having the man at the helm who can do best by them. Like, it's not on their conscience as to how a manager is going to pay his mortgage next month if he's let off. You know, that might sound a bit cutthroat, but I think that's understandable, really, to be honest. I briefly worked with Rennie at Dundalk. Found him to be an absolutely excellent coach. He's a player's coach, I suppose, is how you describe it, in that he puts on sessions that the players absolutely love. Not OTT on tactical information or that sort of stuff. Big into kind of the small-sided stuff, really, really high-tempo stuff. Good on the technical detail, the small technical detail. You know, a really good coach. And then when you throw Stevie into the mix on top of things as well, I just thought it was a matter of time before things come right there. And I really fancied them to have a right good season this year. You know, I've said before that I thought they could be the ones knocking on the door of the four that the bookmakers were saying would finish as the top four: Rovers, Derry, Shells and Pats. And it just hasn't happened. Like, and I don't know why it hasn't happened, because I look at the players they've got available to them as well, and I think it's an excellent squad. I did call the Leeds Mousset one early. I didn't see that working out, and that's proven to be the case, I think, so far. Look, he could come good yet, but so far he doesn't look to be what they need. And then that leaves an awful lot on the shoulders of Colm Whelan, who obviously has injury concerns and the whole lot. I see, like, Colm Whelan come off tonight, was replaced by James Clark. I don't know. I'd be interested to hear, maybe Matthew can tell us, who actually finished up front for Bohemians. You know, that's how light they are at centre forward at the moment. But, like, Rennie will know, you know, the same way I would have known what the expectation was of me at Galway, and then I knew what the repercussions of not delivering on that expectation is. You know, Rennie will know the exact same scenario himself. You know, a team like Bohemians, I would have thought, based on the quality they have and based on the budget they have, need to be finishing in the top half of the table at a minimum. So Rennie, either, you know, things either come right for Rennie over the next month or two and he gets them back into the top half of the table, which I still absolutely believe he can do. Or if they don't come right, well, he knows what happens if that's the case. And he's been in the game longer than most. So he understands the cutthroat nature of it. But, you know, I do think that's a decent result. Okay, it mightn't have been in the most flamboyant of styles there tonight, but it's still a game they have to win that they won. And that's the most important thing. They won't care what way they got over the line. You know, they would have been under serious heat if they hadn't delivered the result tonight.
You're saying there's a lot of pressure on Colin Whelan, but like they've a lot of attacking players that should be, like, they should have a dynamic forward unit with, like, obviously Dawson, Tierney, Bagley, fucking, you know, they've good attacking players. It just looks like it looks like they hadn't clicked, and some of their key experienced players, like even Cornwall had an off night against Galway. Like, it just looks like the core of the team hasn't kind of developed yet or something like that. It feels like they will eventually improve. Like, they have absolutely good players in that team.
Well, you look at the bench even tonight, Johnny. Like we're bringing on players of quality, of James Clark, of James McManus, of Dale. Like, Dale Rooney.
I didn't mention any of them three players. I didn't mention any of them three. Clark, McManus, Rooney. Like,
yeah, and I mean Rooney was outstanding last year. So he was. So there's so much talent there. For some reason, I maybe again Matthew could shed more of a light on it. I mean, I thought one of the reasons why I thought they'd bounce back or do well this year was I thought Keith Buckley would come back in and play a massive part, but he really hasn't. I mean, he was on new sub again there tonight for whatever reason. I don't know, is he fully fit or is he just out of favour? Maybe he has been poor in the minutes he's got, I don't know, but I loved Keith Buckley before the injury. I absolutely loved him. He's, as you know, with my manager's hat on, he was, you know, watching him before that injury, he was one, would be the first in my team sheet every time, because the work rate and everything was outstanding, but not really getting a look this time around.
Yeah, I think I won't ask you for a prediction for Monday, Matthew. I think we'll let you go off into the good night and enjoy the rest of your weekend before fateful trip to Tala. But thanks for jumping on.
Yeah, thanks very much. Thanks very much. That's best.
Paul O'Toole is standing by. I cut off Matthew there. Paul, the floor is yours. Good evening. Welcome to League of Ireland Late Night.
Hello, Cameron. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Not too bad. So what game were you watching tonight?
I was at the RSC there, Cameron.
Oh, dear.
But unlike Aaron, I'm on the underside of the fence.
Okay. I assume you're going to keep it brief here.
Well, it's the worst, unfortunately, it's the worst defeat we've had since we came back up to the Premier Division last season. And it's six defeats in a row, so we have a lot of issues.
Paul, I'm not going to lie, when I looked at the form guide tonight and I thought, oh, both sides are going into this looking for their first win in six, I just had a feeling Sligo Rovers were going to win. Like, am I crazy, or has there just been a trend over the last while where Waterford haven't been maybe hitting the heights that they were last year?
No, absolutely, Cameron. And I suppose if you want to take it from last year, like, we did really, really well maybe up until the mid-season break last season. But since then, if you want to continue it on, like, our form has been really, really poor at the second half of last year. And that's continued on now. So it's become a bit of a trend, unfortunately. And it seems like the fans are voting with their feet a little bit. So we had under 2,000 at the RSE tonight, which is maybe one of the biggest concerns.
I didn't realize that is definitely concerning, Paul. And what
the weather was awful, Shane, though, in fairness. Like the weather, the crowd in Galway is well down. Like the weather, I think there was, they're even pitch specs in Waterford. Like I'd give them a bit of a pass in that for all the things aren't great at the moment.
Yeah, and what, like, performance wise, Paul, what, you know, where are the struggles, or what's the biggest concern at the moment?
Well, Shane, I came on, the last time I was on this was after the second game of the season, and we had beaten Sligo in the first game and just lost to Shelburne. And I was just making the comment around how I felt the squad was a little bit unbalanced in how it was set up, the lack of pace and wingers that were in the squad. At that time, I didn't realise how bad Matty Smith's injury was. Like, he hasn't been seen, and apparently he might not be seen at all this season. And I've been proven right, unfortunately, on that. We've been playing three at the back to compensate, but unfortunately, maybe Keith was taking a little bit of flack for being a bit negative with that three at the back, stroke maybe five at the back, if you look at it like that. And he went 4-4-2 tonight with Conan Noonan and Kyle White, two very light players in midfield. And we were just picked apart. And it was just one of them, maybe, Shane. I don't know, when you're a manager, do you just kind of maybe have a go at it and say, I'll do maybe what the fans want us to do and go 4-4-2, but it was the completely wrong decision.
Yeah, no, listen, that's not good. I'm looking, I see, just looking at the lineup, Andy Boyle out of the team at the moment as well. Has he not done well for you since he's come in?
He hasn't been available, Shane, for over the last month.
Just,
like, tonight
just back
was his first
injury, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's just like we've signed players, like we signed Tommy Lonergan, like, and obviously we have Podge who plays every game, like, so it just looked like the squad is set up to play three at the back. Like, we literally don't have any winger in the team to play 4-2-3-1 or 4-3-3. It just seems bizarre to me, the way that the squad has been recruited for. Like, we've no Matty Smith, apparently, like, he's had surgery, and Keith even himself said he has no timescale on when he's going to be back. So it just seems a little bit haphazard, the recruitment. Obviously, I don't think Keith recruits all the players. Obviously, we're under the Fleetwood model. I think that their head of recruitment helps out with ourselves as well. But it's not looking good for us. And I think the majority of the fans, I'm not one of them now that buys into this, but I think Keith Long should remain at the club. I don't think his position should be under threat at this time at all. But it is coming under threat from a lot of fans, and it is just worrying the way they were trending at the moment.
I've been at the RSC when things go negative.
One, isn't it?
Sorry, Shane.
Sorry, I was just saying Monday is an absolutely massive one for you now, Paul. Yeah. Like, if they'd go ahead of you if they bet you Monday, wouldn't
they? It's an absolutely huge game, Shane. And like we're saying all this, unfortunately, regardless of system that we've played, and this has been an ongoing issue, and it was one of the reasons, actually, we were on last year, and we were speaking, Shane, about, and you asked me at the time, what do you need for next season? And I did say an experienced centre-half. And he went out and got that in Andy Boyle, but we just can't keep a clean sheet. So you're going down to Cork now on Monday, two teams. It's probably going to be a very, very nervy game. First goal, crucial. Like, can we keep a clean sheet and even get out with a 0-0? Because the onus is going to be on them to win it. But Johnny is right, though, around if the fans in Waterford are fickle, like, I know you're saying about the weather, but they won't come if this stays happening. And that's kind of the big worry. Like, we finished seventh last year, like fourth bottom. We're third bottom at the moment. I never saw us finishing above seventh this season anyway.
I've been down there, Paul, where the crowd kind of turns. Like, what was it like tonight?
Yeah, you can imagine it, Johnny. Like, once it turns, it's very hard to get it back. Like, they're going to need convincing. It was like, as you say, like, we were down to first division for a long, long time. It was like that at the end. The crowd was streaming out of the stadium. Now, I don't blame them for leaving, like, on a bad night or whatever, but the support base can be, you think you have a strong maybe around 3,000, but when when 50 come down from Sligo, as opposed to having maybe 500 from a Dublin club, the attendances do take a hit, and that is worrying.
Jeez, the goals he gave away were desperate as well, just watching on Virgin.
Absolutely, Johnny. And as I said, like, if we could just dig in and keep the ball out of the back of the net, but we've taken a chance on a couple of players, which I don't blame Keith for. Like, we've lost Dara Power to Cheltenham last year, who was a very solid right back. We've taken a chance on a couple of lads coming in from Holland. And I'm sure Shane will realise as well, when you're kind of doing things like that, around even the way you mentioned about Mooseset and players coming in that are not used to being in the League of Ireland for different reasons, you are taking a chance on them being able to adapt to the league and to the country and everything. And we just look to be struggling to find that now, which is not good. But I wouldn't be... 6 in a row is unacceptable to lose at any time in the season. But I do just think that, like, where did people expect Waterford to be anyway?
Yeah, no, but look, staying, you have to be realistic here, Paul.
Yeah,
like, you know,
absolutely.
Steering clear of those bottom two, you know, based on budgets, based on everything, steering clear of those bottom two positions, to me, that's success. You know, it mightn't sound the sexiest form of success, but for me, it would be success for you.
That's the standard of the league as well. Like, the standard of the league that, you know, and you'll have teams improving. The Sligo are absolutely going to improve. So I'd be just staying up would be the achievement.
Yeah, absolutely, Johnny. I'm Shane. I completely agree. But if you're, as the saying goes, if you're standing still, kind of, you're going backwards kind of thing. Mm. It is hard to generate for Waterford to continue to develop. Like, if we finish around this again, I do think that the level of interest will fall off.
Paul, should they, and listen, you're I'm not saying that you're not saying this, but like, should the questions therefore in terms of where the club is going not be directed more at the ownership model than a Keith? Like,
I completely agree, Shane. Like, I don't think Keith Long's job in the short term, like, I know he can't keep losing games, but I don't think in the short term that is up for a question. I think he is absolutely the right person to be in the job. The ownership is the way it is. Like, Fleetwood released their accounts there during the week with huge debts. We all know the situation with Fleetwood, and that they bankroll Fleetwood and ourselves, like, solely a sole benefactor or whatever you want to call it. Like, we understand the situation that we're in, that we are the small fish in that group. So I think we're grateful for it, but I just do think it can get fickle if we're not progressing. And I do always kind of look to Galway again, Johnny, because we did come up at the same time. And I do compare us as two provincial clubs, as we're called, that Galway can go on and compete with John Coffey and Ollie Horgan. And if you want to put Keith Long in that bracket, that you seem to be able to compete more than Waterford are, which is a criticism that I think is fair.
Yeah, I think we've had more kind of continuity as well. Just the model is obviously totally different. Absolutely. Yeah.
There's too much turnover in Waterford with the players. Yeah, absolutely.
We've been really, really, really secure on that mode now for two seasons, where we've only been strengthening. Albeit tonight was something of a wake up call, I thought.
Yeah, absolutely, and it is correct. Like, every year in Waterford, it is hard with the turnover of player. We just can't. It's just the nature of the club that we are. That's just the beast that we have here now at the moment. Like, and as I said, if you get one or two wrong, as you well know, it can be fatal.
We'll have to leave it there, Paul. Thank you so much for jumping on again, and I hope you enjoy the weekend. And
no has
again next week.
No has. Thanks very much, lads. Sound out.
Cheers. LOI Talk is the caller, so I'm wondering who from John and the lads is on the line there. Good evening, lads. How you doing?
Hello. How's all?
How's it going? Who am I speaking to?
This is Luke O'Mahony. Now, it's his first time we're talking now.
Oh, wow. Here we go. We're getting the whole stable here. So, how you keeping, Luke?
All good now, yeah. I'm from Kerry now, so we're after a fairly depressing night again.
A fairly depressing week.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So, 4-2 to Finn Harps tonight. Hopefully the points will stand in that game, although not maybe in your case. But I guess it'd be a great chance to get your assessment of the game as a whole. Because Kerry were 2-0 up, or 2-1 up at one point, weren't they?
We went down 1-0 and then we got one back and it was like, okay, this might be on now. And then we score again and we were kind of cruising for a while. and just conceded three goals then, like, so it just all fell apart so quickly, really.
Right. I guess the kick in the teeth at the start of the season in terms of the 3 points that you earned against the same opposition are now gone. And that would have been really, really helpful in terms of just your aspirations for the year. But it'd be interesting to get the thoughts of how are Kerry doing this year? Because the whole talk is that it's Dundalk and the rest. And there's probably three tiers in the first division really this year. So what is your assessment of how Kerry have gone about their business this year?
Yeah, I think you're dead right with the whole three tiers in the first division, really. Like, it's Dundalk, Brain, Cove, and a league of their own. And then you're kind of round fine for playoffs, and then it's kind of us, Athlone and Longford then towards the bottom. But I think hopes were high coming into the season, and we started off well with that win that you were referencing there against Finn Harps. And it was just a kick in the teeth, like you said then, to have those points taken away from us. Like, when you're a team that's only 3 years into their League of Ireland journey, to have points taken off you for a reason that you feel is unfair. But look, you've to kind of move past that now, because the FAI are standing by their guns now, saying that we were wrong. But I think the optimism was high after last week. We beat Athlone 3-0, who were a massive team last year, who made the playoffs and all. But now, just I'm in the Kerry FC fan chat now, and there's a lot of complaining now. And look, some of it's justified and then some of it's a bit over the top. Like, I don't think we need to get too ahead of ourselves after tonight, but it's just those winning positions that we seem to crumble away from. We had times last year against Bray and Wexford that we really had to fight to get over the line. And look, we've done well in results now already this year against the likes of Wexford and Athlone, and even Finn Harps, we can still count that one, maybe Schmalbish and a draw against Cove. But tonight was just a really tiring game, you know, because there was just so many emotions. And another penalty conceded, and I saw a stat that's our fourth penalty conceded since the our appeal. And you can read into that saying maybe the league are against us, but I think tonight was a fair penalty again, and maybe just a discipline issue. And there are some people putting pressure on the management, but I don't think that's fair. Yes, to be honest, I think we're still a new enough club. I know we can't really be saying that forever now.
Such a young manager as well, like.
Exactly, yeah. I think he's still the youngest manager in the league. So this is a new chance for him, and he's not much experience, but he's with a man, Chris Colopy, now, who's managed Galway, or he's been assistant manager to Caulfield with Galway. Like, there's a mix of experience and youth there, and I think Connor's still, just at his young ages, a mastermind at moments, and even last year he proved that there with a few wins, and even that draw against Bohemians really put us on the map, I'd say. But I think Conor McCarthy definitely has a lot to show, and he's a lot of potential, in my opinion.
Two goals from Aquatu again to Daniel Aquatu again tonight. How much potential does he have, do you think?
Daniel Aguja, is it?
Yeah, the goals, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The last 2 years now, I think he was around sort of an average player. But we're looking at him now, and I think he's really showing his strength this year. Like, he's completely improved over the summer. Like, he's really worked hard, because the last game he got the assist for the goal that sealed the win. And tonight now he's just fought so hard. And there's that second goal then, it was just brilliant by him. And he's got your own goals a few times, and his attitude's completely changed. You know, there might have been a few problems last year, people might have said, but I think this year he's really fixed that. And he's showing that he is a class player, genuinely. And look, Kelleher as well will be back as well. So we definitely have potential. And I think the main player to focus on for potential is 17-year-old Luke Palmer now. His main moment last year would have been in the under-17 All-Ireland final, basically. He got the goal to put them through against Cove, and they lost, unfortunately, in the final. But he's after getting three goals already this season now, during Ryan Keller's absence, and he's become our top scorer this season. So Akuja definitely, but I'd put Luke Palmer up there as the one to watch in Kerry.
What are the numbers like at Mount Hawke Park week in, week out, Luke?
It's fairly bleak, to be honest, now. Because I saw the likes of Treaty, like, you know, the ground looks a bit empty, but then you look at the attendance and it's still up there. But I think if we were to look at Kerry FC now, the last nights, we'd be lucky to reach about 700, because our last game against that loan there was only 580 people at it. And I think we've only sold out maybe a couple of times, but that's only when the big teams come to town. I think Cork City we sold out once, Drogheda in the Cup, Bowes in the Cup, and maybe one of the Galway games. But besides that, then maybe the Dundalk game recently as well. But unless
you're near the bottom of the first division, so it's not entirely inconsistent with what you'd expect.
No, like just seems no matter what happens, like, you know, sticks and stones, but we'll always be bottom of the league kind of thing. I mean, Athlone now, they're just above us, but they'll probably drive on. But it's Longford that you're looking at. That might be our competition again, like last year. But halfway through the game today, we were seventh. And now we've just plummeted to the bottom again. And this could get a lot better. It could get a lot more rough because you're looking at Cove, Bray, as there are two next games in there, second and third. So this could be a very hard 7 days for the lads, or else it could be a massive 7 days.
Well, look, on the bright side, Luke, you have 500 times more fans than UCD have on a regular basis. So
very true.
We'll take that win when we can. Thanks for jumping on, all right?
No matter, thank you.
So many callers coming on tonight. We have David Sheehan up next. Good evening, David. Welcome to League of Ireland Late Night. How are you? Hopefully, if David wants to hop on.
Oh, there we go. Sorry, you can hear me okay?
Can hear you perfectly there, mate. How are you keeping?
Not too bad, not too bad. How are you getting on?
Not too bad. So I have a feeling you're going to talk to us about Drogheda.
Well, I was on a night off tonight, but I was watching it on TV, yeah. So, it was, I suppose from Drogheda's point of view, if anybody has said to Drogheda supporters they'd be top of the league after what will be 10 games now, they'd be delighted with that. They've been battling away at the bottom of the table for a couple of seasons now, and they're pushing on. I mean, everybody listening in probably would have watched the game tonight, so, Damien Duff was disappointed not to come away with 3 points. Kevin probably the same, but it was like, I think it was a decent average for the game given the conditions as well. So yeah, I think it was a decent kind of a game for the league. And as I said, like, if Drogheda were told at the start of the season they'd be top at this stage, they'd be delighted with themselves, you know.
I assume the place was fairly hopping up there tonight. I mean, fans must just be still can't believe what's going on.
Yeah, I think so, Shane. I mean, again, as I said, I was actually on a night off, so I was watching it on the couch myself. But it was, but like at the same time, like, the place is hopping. It has been hopping for the last, as you know, probably for the last two since they've come back up and they've been back in the division and established. They've been kind of like getting a massive amount of support. Every week below us in the gantry, the crowd is there and everything's going on. The flares are going off, the whole thing. So. I think that the atmosphere in the place is great. The new ground is obviously kind of in the pipeline, but I think, you know, the confidence they took from the cup final win last year and then the second half of the season last year in general, the players that came in and the sort of form they had. And like, I was watching it on the TV, as I said earlier on, but like, people seem to forget that, like, Douglas James Taylor, who was probably the best striker in the league in the second half of last season, hasn't kicked the ball this season. Alicia Huey, who came on tonight, hadn't kicked the ball in the league before tonight, was manager match in the cup final. Josh Thomas, who came in the off-season as a striker, hasn't hardly played. So, you know, people sort of forget that Drogheda still have a lot of really good players to come back in. So, I think they're in a great position. And it's only great for the league that you've another team kind of in the mix as well, you know, potentially for the league. And maybe could Drogheda do a Shelburne? Maybe not. Maybe they could, but it's just great that another team is up there.
So I'm not sure I've seen this ever in a game tonight, Shane. On Betfair beforehand, 2.98, which is just shy of 2-1. Drogheda were 2.98. The draw was 2.98, and Shelburne were 2.98 going into the game. So it's like literally exactly the same chance of any of the three outcomes, and of course it was a draw.
Yeah, go with what the odds suggest, Johnny, isn't it?
Yeah, I kind of had it on in the background, like, watching obviously the other game, but like, to be fair to Shells, they totally did look like they were dominating the second half, but like, Drogheda going into that game, like, you know, with the expectation nearly that they were going to win, and like, really troubled Shells as well, like, really created chances.
And sorry, Johnny, to cut across you, but like, you know, the Drogheda games this season, all season, like the Derry game last week, the Bohemians game, the Shelburne game earlier in the season, the Pass game earlier in the season, Drogheda have had like 25% or whatever it is possession. I was chatting to Conor Keeley last week. He was like, we don't care about like having possession. We will do our damage when we have it. So they don't really worry too much about that. So you're always going to have a team coming to Drogheda, home or away for Drogheda. They're going to probably cede possession to an extent, but they're so good when they have possession. And we see Warren Davis again tonight. They kind of take the chances they have. But look, as I said, it's just brilliant. There's another team in the mix, and it's been so interesting so far this season, I think, you know.
21% possession again tonight. unbelievable.
They should make it their ambition. Like they've just like absolutely aced this season. If they can win a game with less than 20% possession, because they're getting near it.
I hope they get less than 100% possession cumulatively over the whole season.
They do press very high. Like they do press very hard up the top of the pitch. Testament to like Davis and Markey and the likes. And there's an element of control without having the ball from them as well.
Yeah, exactly. And I always think back to like the latter days of I'm an Arsenal supporter, the latter days of the Arsene Wenger era where it was like a sterile domination. And like Drogheda are the opposite of that. They're like, they cede possession, they sit back, but when they get it back, they will do damage. But yeah, it's as you said there, it'll be very interesting to see the possession stats over the course of the season. But yeah, they've been great so far, and it's just been fantastic to see another team into the mix, you know.
David, thanks a million for jumping on. It's great to get those vibes from the Boyne side tonight, and hopefully you can keep the momentum up. Talk to you later.
Cheers, lads.
Tommy James is next. Lots and lots of callers. I'm going to say it out now that I don't think we're going to get to everybody tonight, but we really appreciate you jumping on. We have Shane Kennedy. I'm sure we're going to get the other side of what happened in Sullivan and Lamb Park very shortly. But Tommy James, good evening. Welcome. At least I hope he can hear me there.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you perfectly there, man. How are you doing?
Good. Hey, it's going on. It's not going to be the other side. I think it'll be maybe a bit thinner. I think David's on me, but
right. Well, you're singing the Drogs hymn sheet as well.
Yeah. I was at the game there tonight. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So, give us your thoughts on that. I mean, I thought it was first half. I was watching bits and pieces of it. Like some of the attacks were fantastic. Like Shells looked like they were right under pressure throughout that game.
Yeah, like I think we did well with the first goal. I mean, look, I don't want to get on with the conditions, but my God, it was like the rain up there tonight. It was
going
away, you know?
I saw the impressionist masterpieces that were the replays for some of the goals were quite something. They were very, it's pretty hard to see.
How did the pitches hold up so well, lads? Like, how did the pitches hold up to the rain?
It's a great pitch.
I can't believe some of the games are called. It's honestly a miracle in its own right. But Tommy, sorry, I interrupted you there.
Yeah, but so we got the first goal, and then I thought we set too far back. We just invited them onto us, and eventually then Shells got the goal, and it was like nip and tuck for a while. Then we had them under pressure again, and got the second goal, like a bit of a mad deflection. But like went into the break, was it 2-1? I think into the break.
Yeah,
and then like looked good, set up good, but obviously conceded then off a corner, and I don't know, it was a tight game. Like we played well. I think we started with five at the back, but maybe switch to four then at some stage.
We'll go back and enjoy the Sligo love-in, because James Aller Kerr is standing by. Good evening, James. How are things?
What's the story, lads?
You sound like you're a very happy man heading back up the road to Sligo.
Very happy, very hoarse man coming back up the road. Just cruising on the motorway here after that. Much needed win. Just from start to finish, like, took Waterford to the cleaners, really. Waterford's form kind of gave us the nod that we needed the performance. And I think from a Sligo Rovers perspective, tonight was a six-pointer that if Waterford had picked up the points regardless of where Cork were, it was going to put a really just make that hill that bit more steeper for us to climb on. But I think I walked into the RSC. I'd seen your man here earlier talking about the crowd. Fair enough, the weather was bad, but I've never been at a game where the crowd was so flat before a game. Like, there was no urge for the Waterford team at the start of the game. I don't think they were as up for the game as kind of the 50, 60 Sligo Rovers fans that travelled were. And from the start, I was just like, we need to get at these. And we did. Gareth McElroy, again, we're saying his name. Shane's going to probably bring him up as well in a bit. But great header. And then Elding then again. The second Hutchinson got onto that ball and it went across the box. I knew it was in straight away. That man is like a magnet to headers. It's crazy. But he's such a good player for us right now. He's just what we need, and it's worked out. Waterford were on the cosh. I don't, actually just don't think they had a clue. I think they were not on the cider. Manning and Hakiki tore up the middle of the park. Fair enough. When we got the two-goal cushion, we kind of sat back for a bit. And it did kind of worry me a bit because, again, we've got into these situations before. And get into half-time, that's all I was saying, and go from there. And then goals three, killed the game. Waterford go down to 10 men. And then Lumboto with another one then, just straight
through. How was Manning, James?
Again, took the goal well. Great. He's starting to come into his strides now. You know, he's probably just that bit more direct than Conor Malley is. Again, after Rustler and his fairly striking interview, isn't the word for it. I don't know. It's just very, you know, calling people, very honest interview, calling people out last week. And, you know, he drops Malley, he drops Conor Walsh and Sargent, who, to be fair, probably needed a pep in his step. You know, Conor Walsh, to be fair to him, is a great keeper, but you know, we signed Sargent as a number one and our number two gets in ahead of him. Sargent needed that tonight, and as well as that, he kept a clean sheet as well, you know, although Waterford just didn't put much at us.
James, just heading, I know it's a bit away, but just thinking ahead of next Friday night, I mean, or Saturday even, you've Cork coming to the showgrounds, and given what you've just said there, I'd say Sligo Rovers and players were licking their lips when they heard how dull the atmosphere was in the RSC. And just given that you've only won one game in the last seven at the showgrounds, it might have been better off to go down to maybe a potentially tempestuous Turner's Cross.
No, I'll disagree with you on that one. Regardless, the home support's been quite good. Regardless of, you know, nobody expected us to pull a Drogheda on this season. You know, we've got Jake Doyle Hayes back tonight as well. He was really good in the middle of the park. You know, I think I said this at the start of the year, we're well capable of taking every team in this league on head to head. It's just, do we do it or do we not? Tonight shows we can do it, regardless of where Waterford are, with a full squad. And I'm saying full squad because for the last 3 or 4 weeks, we've been hammered with suspensions and injuries and all that type of stuff, which, again, on such a small budgeted squad, affects us as much as you want to say it.
And you finally kept a clean sheet.
Yeah, again, I think I was more delighted than the goals scored, the fact that we had gone and kept a clean sheet. Like, John and Gareth just cleaned up everything. Waterford had one or two really good chances in the first half to... Porrigamon just didn't get his leg to, or didn't get his head to. But other than that, Waterford, you know, they didn't offer as much. You could tell by the guy that was on beforehand, he was kind of, you know, a bit worried. Again, Keith Long, keep him in as far as I'm concerned. We just need to kind of focus on ourselves though at the minute. We've got a huge game in the Brandywell on Tuesday night. You know, we have to be able to take Derry, just as we were unlucky against Derry in the showgrounds. You know, we have to go up to the Brandywell with the intentions of what we had going into the RSC tonight. Because if we don't, we're just going to shoot ourselves in the foot. But, you know, I was kind of hoping Bowes and Cork would drop a few points or even draw tonight, to be honest with you, because it just meant that bottom four kind of stay as a bottom four and we climb up the table a bit. But like, again, the performance from Owen Elding, from Gareth McElroy, these younger guys that, you know, show that they want to play the game, that's been the difference with us tonight, 100%.
James, we'll leave you to it, I guess. Best of luck on your journey and safe home, and we'll talk to you again, I'm sure, very soon.
Cheers, lads.
All right, it is time to get the thoughts of Shane Kennedy, our weekly catch-up with Shane and all things Shells. Good evening, Shane. How are you?
So what do you make of that? Is that a valuable point on the road against a team that's very much in form, or do you feel you probably could have got the win?
It's pretty hard to win a game when you give away two soft goals. So probably have to just take that point and move on, I suppose. You can't give away goals like that at any level. That's a point. It's a fight to come back twice and never really had a chance to win it, I suppose. So you can't really say, oh, we should have won it, but obviously we dominated the ball. Absolutely soaked here. It was some weather. Some weather it was. The only thing I wanted to say, just while I remember, I think I was saying Kieran McEnroy got man of the match, which is something I've been thinking about. He's been really, really good, though. But I know Johnny and Dan had a big talk about standards of the league last year. And he has. He's been one of our best players. I think he got man of the match tonight. Probably would have given it to Evan Caffrey myself. Just because Kieran's in midfielder, he didn't do a whole lot going forward. But he's a lad who came in from the Championship in Scotland. I think he bounced around the Scottish leagues, didn't really do too much though. Now, we love him, he's brilliant. But, obviously, Europe is a big test for him. And I wonder, if he, goes on and we, say, even come close to winning the league, does that mean he's really, really good? Or Damien Duff, or I mean, sorry, does that mean the league standard has completely dropped a little bit? Or Damien Duff is such a good manager to be getting this player to the level he's at from where he's been? Obviously, if he goes and does it in Europe and gets man of the match in Europe, then you can forget about that. But just something to highlight, because he has been a standout for us this year. He wins a lot of balls back and his energy around the pitch. Just something to highlight.
Yeah, he's looked it from the first minute he set foot on the pitch, though, Shane. Do you know what I mean? You talk about acclimatising things fast. I mean, he's been absolutely kind of... But he's been. Would it be right in saying, would he have been in pretty much your top three players in pretty much every game this season here?
He's undroppable in midfield. No matter whether Mark Hoyle steps back in, he's coming back in for JJ Looney or Ellis Chapman. He's not coming back in for Kieran McEnroy because he has a little bit of everything. Do you know what I mean? Where JJ will just sit and Chapman in the middle will just want to go forward. Don't want to do defensive work. He's got a lot, but
that's been interesting, Shane. It's been easy for Duffy. He hasn't had to make the call because he's had to play Coyle back, so if he has to sort of pick two of the three, but not necessarily the three of the central midfielders.
If you want to go, I mean, in games like that, I think JJ Looney's perfect. They dominate the ball, and if you're playing away and you don't have the ball, it probably, can we do an NFL quarterback sub, and when we have the ball, bring JJ on, and when we don't, bring Coyler on. Can we do that now?
Yeah.
Give it a try.
But I have to say,
he's a leader as well, Shane. I remember reading one of the articles when he came in there first. I mean, he was captain of the Celtic reserves at a pretty young age, I think. And he carries himself around the field like a leader. He doesn't need to be wearing the captain's armband to kind of, have that leadership about him, I don't think.
No, not at all. Absolutely. He leads by his energy. His energy is phenomenal, and his football vision. Maybe the Scottish football doesn't suit him, and the League of Ireland's becoming more of a football, in my opinion, with Pats, even Bowes and other teams trying to play a bit more. Maybe the Championship in Scotland just doesn't suit him, because you look at Dom Thomas came there and he's not doing a whole lot for 30.
He's good tonight now, as it turns out.
Yeah, I know he's doing all right, but in moments, but not dominating, I suppose. Can't say get the best out of him up there, I don't think. He was good against us. And the only looking, when Ray Tuller came on, I don't know if any has watched the match though, but when the guy brought Tuller on, he just killed us down the left because he kept trying to come inside, and Chuck was doing well. I felt that kind of killed us a little bit, but I was really disappointed in Trotter though. I know they do what they do, but they didn't do really anything, even when they went 2-1 up at half time. You're at home, you're put us under pressure. They didn't do anything, just hanging on away from home and then just hanging on at home. I think I saw the stats, whatever about stats, but in other games they might have had chances. They barely get in our box. And they had these long throws.
Still they got points out of the game though. Yeah.
I get that. But they had these long throws as well that barely beat the first man. And Meepo as well, lads, he's, they don't know what he's seen as two misses. The first one was after like 30 seconds and the first chance was difficult and then he kind of snatched that. I don't think he realised he had enough time. I'd love to watch that one back. But the one after they scored was, you kind of felt for him a little bit because obviously after last week he was on the high and then you can kind of go back down to earth a little bit, but he snatched at his ball in the back and I was half thinking maybe Roddy was right.
I was wondering when that was going to come up.
Yeah, I hope Duffer was asked about that afterwards. Was Roddy right, actually?
I think he was asked about, oh, today. Yeah.
If you asked him after the game, it would have been interesting.
Yeah, he was asked about it last week, I was saying in the press conference, though. But it's mad how tight the league is. You look at Bowles, Rennie this, Rennie that, and all. They're only like 7 points off top or something. Like. You know, they're not doing well, but they're 5 points off the Champions League.
Yeah, 2 points. 2 points separating the top four is brilliant. Like it's brilliant. It really, really is. Look, I would just say
Derry tonight, Shane. Where Derry tonight look like a team. Yeah, if they can get these attacking players going, they will be very good.
Yeah, I probably wasn't expecting that result from them, to be honest, which
it was like the Duffy Benson link up at times kind of reminded you of, oh, hang on, actually, nearly forget the two of them are playing together at Derry now, it's Thomas. They were very good side. Derry, lads. So they played, who did they play up front?
Danny Mullen, I think.
Danny Mullen and White started as well, and they kind of played Duffy, so it was like three up top.
Yeah, that's a strange win then, because there's no physicality up there with Boyce and Hilbin not playing.
Yeah, they didn't need that. They just Galway United were on the stretch a lot, and Duffy was like, he was not the best player in the league this season. He's not far off, and yeah, they were just quite like, it just looked a game where the pitch was heavy, but it seemed to suit Derry more than Galway United.
You're going to have Friday, to run, Jane, aren't you? Because the other two are looking good now at the moment, Rovers and Pats.
And they drew tonight.
Yeah.
No, Pats have been absolutely diabolical in my opinion. picking up results though, but no, they didn't impress me. Rovers are the ones you have to watch out for, especially with Gaffney coming back in. Monday's a big game. I don't know who Pats are playing, but we're at home to Galway. We have to start winning the home games. Like, it's looking back at the Cork game. Whatever about Drogheda, you give away a goal, but the Cork game is, you're not going to win the league if you don't start picking up wins at home, are you?
Pats are away to Drogheda, actually.
Well, Monday is absolutely massive. Mondays, especially the Monday games, everyone talks about Friday, Monday. Hopefully we have John Martin was doing a big warm-up tonight. He's a big loss. He just gives you, to me, he'd be the fourth striker I'd have in the team, to be honest. He gives you the height, like physicality up front and his energy. He'd be my number nine, even ahead of, I don't know if Boydie's listening, but John Martin's very underrated, but he was doing the big one. But Boyd, he should be back Monday set up. I don't know what game's on. Oh, it's obviously Rovers. Pats, hopefully Drogheda can nick one against Pats. The weather last was absolutely shocking to me as well, though. To answer Johnny's question about the pitches, it wasn't really lashing, though, was it? Like, it was just raining all day, and then it was heavy rain. Yeah, and then it was heavy rain during the match, like, so there probably wasn't enough, like, there was at Rovers last month, who got severely lucky, because let's be honest, we could all see the Cork were going to be depleted when Rovers went there on Monday after that game getting called off and they had a full squad. That also puts Rovers mouldering. They're playing against the Cork team to have now Maguire and Keaton compared to 6 weeks ago, they would have had both of them.
Listen, I'm going to take the advice of my father on first dates. When we start talking about the weather, it's probably time to call it a day, Shane. So
no, I was just answering Johnny's question about how the pitches held up. The pitches held up because it wasn't raining that much.
We'll let you go and enjoy your Easter break. And
we'll cheers, you too. Take it easy, lads.
The sounds of it, a couple of shells wins next week, but we'll have to wait and see. We are bang out of time, folks. Thank you so much for jumping on this evening. A really good show tonight.
And lots and lots of action to look forward to over the next couple of days. So just to run you through some of the fixtures coming up, full program tomorrow in the Women's Premier Division, Sligo Rovers and Galway United in the Connacht Derby to kick things off. You've Waterford against Bowes, Shells against Cork City, Piemont against DLR Ways, Shamrock Rovers, Wexford, and then Athlone Town versus Treaty United rounds off the day's action. The Monday fixtures then, it's the Dublin Derby, the big Dublin Derby between Shamrock Rovers and Bowes at 2. Three games kicking off at 5 o'clock in the Premier Division. So Cork City take on Waterford, Munster Derby there. As we've mentioned, it's Drogheda United against St. Pat's and Shelburne against Galway. Athlone Town take on Longford Town in the Midlands Classico. Dundalk Finn Harps, Kerry Cove Ramblers, Bray taking on UCD and Wexford Treaty United. We'll have another packed show, I'm sure, for you next Friday. But until then, Shane Keegan, have a lovely Easter.
Cameron, thank you. Unfortunately, our lack of Shamrock Rovers and Pat's callers rendered my viewing of that game useless. But just to point out that it was an outstanding game of football.
It sounded.
And, yeah, it certainly was. And not to tell everybody else on the field short, but to sum it up, three words, Jack is back.
Oh, that goal to equalise early on.
His whole performance, Cameron, we have some good players in the league, but this man is on a different level to everybody else when he's fully fit.
Yeah, I heard Stephen Bradley singing his praises after the Cork game. So watch this space, says Jack Byrne. Don't you worry, Shane, because Jonathan Higgins was taking us through the action tonight over on News Talk. That was the commentary game tonight. So at least two of you are watching. That's good to know. Johnny, we'll talk to you again next week.
Cheers, Cam.
League of Ireland Late Night is, of course, brought to you in partnership with our friends at Rockshore. On Off the Ball, a league of our own. Get the facts. Be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie. Thank you so much to everybody who listened and made a good Friday even better. We'll talk to you again next week. Have a lovely Easter weekend. Until next Friday.
Off the Ball. In partnership with Rockshore. Bringing you League of Ireland football, a league of our own. Get the facts, be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie.